Welcome back to Seat Time. It has been a long time since I've done a podcast this year, but I have been racing. And one of the people that I have been racing with, luckily enough, is Dylan Souther, and he is on the call with us today. So things got a little weird, but before we talk about what happened to me, Dylan, you're a double A from Colorado. So Colorado all the way to Arkansas is quite the trek. Like, what brought you to the White Rock Enduro?
So I just wanted to do a little different. I've been racing the RMEC for 2 or 3 years, and not so much that I was burnt out, but I just wanted to try a different series. So me and a buddy, we leave our bikes at his parents in Oklahoma, and we fly in and get a rental truck, drive to the race, drive back, fly home. So it's working out.
You're getting to fly in to blackjack races.
Yep, and we booked it, our flights way in advance, so it's only like $120 round trip, so it's cheaper than fuel.
Oh my god, that's amazing, dude. So wait, where is it then that the bikes are stored at?
At his parents in East Oklahoma. I forget the town, but okay. It's like, it's close to Missouri, Arkansas, so it's within 2 hours of all the races.
That is so stinking awesome, dude. So is you coming back to work and all that kinds of stuff? Like, what is it that you do during the week that allows you to get out there and goof off with all this stuff?
I work with the gas company, so I have some PTO, and I just take days off.
You're smart, man. You're smart, man. Living it up. Living it up, Mr. Dylan. Okay, so it was awesome to be able to be on a row with you, right? Because that's what's been fun for me, kind of getting back into racing this year and choosing blackjack just because I've done TSEC for years, right? And that, but what sucked for me is I hit go on my GoPro and I don't hear any button, like right there at the very start before we go over the creek. And I was like, huh, that was weird. So the whole time as we're going off, I'm like messing with it, like trying to hear the button. And that's when the dude who was on the row behind us got to see me have my wicked crash, which was my first one of the day. And I say first one because unfortunately there were quite a few of them. But in the long run, I was like, oh crap, what's going on with my GoPro? We had an 8-mile transfer. So when we got there, I could never get it going. So I don't know what happened to my GoPro. They're going to warranty it. But in the long run, what we are doing here today is we're going to talk through the race and everything that went on. Dylan was cool enough to let me use his footage. So we are going to make this video together to put out on the Seat Time video channel, on the YouTube channel, to kind of document the race. So it's a little bit of me and it's a little bit of Dylan, and we're just going to see how this mixes up. So just right off the cuff, overall, what were your thoughts of the White Rock Enduro?
I think I might have used the wrong tire because it was a lot slicker than I had imagined. I was just sliding all over the place, but I like it. It's tight, technical, tons of moisture. It is a fun course.
Yeah, so then what tire was the poor choice so people can take awareness?
I don't want to say it was a poor choice, but I was running a moto tire, the Dunlop MX34, which I've loved everywhere. But here, I think I would have been better with the AT81 or 2.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, too, like I had the MX32 on the front, and then I had the Starcross 6 medium soft on the rear. And honestly, I felt like my tires did pretty darn good all day. It's just that, to your point about how slick it was, like the roads were dusty, you know what I mean? But for some reason, every trail, it felt like held tons of moisture. And so the rocks were slicker than all get out. And I do believe that at least on the rear, some kind of like trail gummy would be super epic. Like IRC was the VE33 or something like that you can get in the Gakota fashion. Like, I think that would be primo. But honestly, yeah, I don't know, man. Because people were saying that course is better when it's a little bit wet than dry like that. And I'm like,
yeah, I don't understand that, but maybe that's an Arkansas thing.
yeah. Okay. And I will say, I asked about that. And the one person from that area, I think it was one of the White Rock Enduro members, mentioned that they say when all the ground is wet, the rocks actually settle a little bit more into the moist terrain. And so they actually don't move as much. So the rocks might be slick or slicker, but because of the fact that they don't shake around as much because they're less dry and they're more settled, that it is actually more fun. And I'm like, I think y'all are just crazy, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, maybe. I guess if you're sliding around on everything, it's more consistent, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you were on a four stroke. So again, kind of that overall thought process. How did that four stroke treat you there in the woods of the White Rock Enduro?
Well, it's kind of a new bike. I've only had like 2 hours to ride it, so I'm not really used to it. And being a 450, it's quite a bit in the woods. I kind of wish I would have had a 350 or even a 250.
Yeah.
But it's nice with traction control. You kind of just ride up a gear and it doesn't spin much.
That's interesting. So is that one of the newer bikes then, like a 2024?
It's a 3.
23? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I haven't ridden. I mean, literally, I'm on a 2018 Sherco 300. You know what I mean? Like, okay. So even at this point, like, it's old. Like, it's kind of crazy that it's, like, 6 years old. So, I mean, like, 6.5, I think, at this point. Like, so, yeah, I don't have traction control. I have Flintstone legs. That's my traction control, right? So, it was funny because we're going into test one. And I think it was Dale Rector who was behind us as we were getting ready. We were getting closer and stuff like that coming up. They were on row 29 behind us with Brandon Hufford, Hufford. I'm meeting these guys more, but in the long run, and I'm trying to retain so much. It's very difficult on my 44-year-old brain. But he was just like, yeah, if this is the test from last year, like, it's scary fast. And I was like, oh, crap. So I have to ask, like, did you think it was scary fast? Because I thought it was scary fast.
Yes. Well, especially too, from that last race, I haven't really touched my suspension. So it was real stiff. And up that first trail, it being super rocky, I was bouncing all over the place and just trying to keep it rubber side down. So yeah, that was sketchy. And I kept slowing down because I was, you know, getting kind of scared and getting all over the place. But I'm like, well, if I want to do well, I need to really push it. So yeah, it was kind of scary.
Yeah, and I was still I got to ride my bike today, and I feel like I might have like worked out some of the kinks that were going on with the clutch or whatever it was, because it really only felt like it would get to 80% power. But regardless of that, weird. Like it was weird because there were times where you would like walk away from me, and I've been focusing on saving time, right? Like where can I use momentum to be my friend? And there were times too though that I just had to say like, I got to fucking pin it. Like, I was like, he is slowly walking away from me and it's opened up a little bit. So again, like I could kind of like, I felt like I was comfortable enough to let my balls drop. And I was just like, gah! And I'd, you know, make up maybe like 2 bikes lengths and then it'd be okay. Then we'd get back into that flow and I'd hold that and you'd pull just a little bit and be like, okay, I got to do it again. But it was legitimately scary because I think they said it was just over a mile up. And now we're talking double track too. So we're not talking like single track uphill in this regard that we're going this crazy. But then they get us to the top of this section and it's like, oh, dude, it just like they just put us in, I think, the tightest trail of the weekend because it had zero flow, like none.
Yeah, going from, you know, third, fourth gear, maybe 40, 50 miles an hour in some spots to going around a corner and you're going 4 miles an hour, like full lock. I mean, it took a minute to get used to that.
Now, have you ridden tight trails like that before?
A little bit, but it's been a while. I used to live out east for a few years and I did over there.
Okay.
It's been a while.
And that was tight. Like that legitimately was, like some of the tighter trails that I've even ridden. And I grew up in the pine trees of Louisiana, where Sarah likes to just make it as disgusting as possible. Trim your bars down to 18 inches just because it's like that gross, right? And I thought that was pretty nasty. Now I will say that was funny. There was one point where like I was just with you, right? And you were kind of stuck behind a guy who wasn't getting over. So I hollered extremely loud trying to get him to get out of the way. And you thought I was hollering at you, but in the long run, you let me by, he let me by, and we just took off. So like,
yeah,
I apologize. I did not mean to spook you into letting me go by, but in the long run, I mean, I beat you by a handful of seconds. So in the long run, you just stuck with me there and we made it to the end, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of glad you did because, I mean, I was probably holding you up just a little bit through that tight stuff. And because then as soon as you went by me, I just kind of latched onto you and I'm like, oh, wow, he's cooking. So I even started going faster.
Nice. Well, we made our way through that. So super, super fast and crazy. And if they have that next year and I get to go back, oh my God, like I'm gonna have to bring my big boy panties. Like, because holy crap, I mean, like, we could go faster up that hill. I just don't know if I want to do it. And then now we kind of know to get into that night, that tight, nasty stuff. So we then transfer a little bit. I messed with my factory reset, my GoPro, like everything like that. Nothing. I pack it in there. That's when we have our conversation and we go into this 3 miles test section for test two. And I thought this was tight, like legitimately still a tight section, but I thought it had just enough flow to it that it was actually like a fun tight section, where the one before that test one was like, oh my God, is this really what we've signed up for all day? And it was only 3 miles long, so it was like, okay, like I can handle this for 3 miles.
Yeah, that was a good break to have a little shorter one. And after we got warmed up in the first test, it felt easier.
Yeah. And this is another one. I think we kind of fell into the same thing where I caught you once it got into the tighter stuff and you let me by. And then I think, again, we finished with just a handful of seconds between us there when we came through at the end of test two. But that's the thing, as I'm trying to think about test two, like, did anything stand out? And honestly, like, we'll get to test three, but test two and test three, I think, were just so fun that it was kind of like, I don't really remember much.
Yeah, I'd have to watch the video. I don't really remember.
Yeah, that was the tough part. But then we go, and I think, too, this is when we start to realize that everybody that's checking us in at all of the different test sections or all the different crews working this, we're all dressed up. Everybody had a theme, and everybody was going for it and stuff like that. So you got to give it out to the White Rock members. Like, they were legitimately having a good time. And it was funny because you finally were like, well, why are you guys all dressed up? And they were like, because it's fun. I was like, yeah, like, I love it. Like, you got to get into this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought there was a theme for each test, but then they're just all random. They're like, just for fun. Okay, that's cool. That's new.
Yeah. I like it. And here we are. I know. Yeah, it's like, I got to love it. Backwoods of Arkansas. Right. We'll do what we can. So, and I would say that test three, which was 4 miles long, might have been one of the more fun tests of the day. And I think it's because it was just short enough, just like the 3 mile test, where it was just short enough that we could kind of push ourselves. But this is the first time where I really got a chance to see Brandon and Dale Rector from behind pass us. And that's when my jaw was on the ground. Because the other times they passed us, I feel like I was just still struggling in the tight stuff. I hadn't totally found a groove yet or anything like that. But then when we got into test four, because it opened up a little bit and we were kind of going down some of those loose canyons, when they came by me, it was like, oh my God. Like, not only did their bikes seem like they were ricocheting off of everything. So again, it's like if they had a semblance of control, I don't know that they felt it. But then the second that they would touch the ground, I mean, you could just... they were just, I mean, it was an on or off switch for those guys, at least from my perspective. And like, unfortunately, they were passing you too. So what was that like getting passed by those guys?
Well, yeah, I figured they'd be coming, like, I don't know, maybe a little after halfway, three quarter of the test, I'd expect them. And then, yeah, like you said, I could see them bouncing off everything because it was slick too, but they just, maybe they're used to it. I don't know, but it didn't seem to slow them down. They just comfortably slid around everything.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I was talking with John Scholemeyer a little bit about, just about our experience at White Rock Enduro. And I believe he was telling me that Dale Rector is like a multi-time blackjack champion, you know? So again,
that makes me feel better.
So much sense now that it's like, if he's, you know, maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even say whatever it was, multi-time blackjack champion, if that is his terrain, like, it makes so much sense. And especially for him to be pulled by a AA, you know, racer of today, right? The like, dude, it just looked like those guys were having so much fun, like, going super fast. I had a lot of fun watching them go by me when they were going super fast.
Yeah.
All right. Test four was the one from the day that I think is the one where I didn't mean, I wasn't truly trying to cause any kind of a stink, but I did, when we got done, talk about what happened going in, and then we'll talk about in the test. So when you and I got to test five, which was where we were going to go to our A only, we pulled up and we were behind row 29. But neither you nor I had gotten passed in the test by row 29. And so we were kind of like, we literally had that weird moment where we looked at them, you and I looked at each other, and then we looked back at them and they were like, we were like, wait, how did you, like, and they literally, Brandon goes, we didn't pass you. We were like, you didn't pass us. They're like, oh shit, what happened? And so again, like I did officially put in a protest for test four, and it's not about them, right? In the sense of like the named writer, because I don't, it's just writers that did their best in the test. And unfortunately, because I felt the way that the test was arrowed, there were easy ways for many writers to make many mistakes. And so kind of like taking it back, that's where you and I had a lot of issues. And even the racer, I can't remember his name now. Do you remember the third guy that was on our row? The sandbagger?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember.
Okay, I'd have to look it up. And I apologize. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But it was like, I just felt that the arrowing in that section was very poor, you know, and there were multiple times where you and I, because there were, like, we were kind of like, you know, with each other the whole time, me behind you, following you, that it's like, I was the one who caught the turn because you blew by it. And the only reason is because the last second that you would blow by something, I was like, shit, the arrow. And the arrow was always in the turn instead of on the outside of the turn. And so it was, I felt anyway, they needed more ribbon, and the arrowing was pretty poor because of the fact that I think like it was probably errored by people that one aren't racers and two probably never tried to ride it at race pace. So
yeah.
Give me your thoughts. I kind of had to put that out there because I don't want to hide behind my words. I said all this stuff in an email. I've had multiple conversations with different people.
Well, yeah, on that one corner, just the way that the trail naturally flowed, it flowed straight. But when I went through there, I didn't see the arrow, or I seen it, but I didn't, I guess, notice the direction of it. And I just was looking for the way the trail flowed. So I just kept going straight. There was no ribbon. And then when I started riding like, you know, 1,500 feet, I seen one or two tire tracks. And I'm like, huh, something's kind of weird. Kept riding for a few seconds, and then I turned around, and then that's when I seen you guys out in the field. So that, yeah, that's when I cut back. I think maybe one or two guys before me cut the ribbon, not on purpose, obviously, but yeah. So I'm thinking a lot of people took that shortcut.
Yeah, I would assume after us, unfortunately. Do you think that that's where we were when we were talking with Brandon and Dale, that they had potentially missed part of the section and just kept going, and then it probably made it up with a piece and part of the trail?
Yeah, probably, which I think that I don't really know where it would have went, but I can't imagine it would have cut off more than, I don't know, 300 yards, 400 yards of trail. Like, it seemed like, because the trail, when it went to the right, it went back around right to where it cut. So,
right.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. Whatever.
Yep. Whatever. It's one of those things where, but again, I didn't want to sit behind kind of like emails and phone calls and stuff like that. I just wanted to, you know, again, it has nothing to do specifically about Brandon or Dale or that. It's just that it's one of those things where there were, to me anyway, there were quite a few minor mishaps. In the long run, that was the biggest one of the day that happened to me that I heard about from multiple other people, where arrows being on the inside of turns totally screwed people, especially in situations like that, where it's not just about you couldn't see the arrow, but it's when you don't see the arrow and you see trail in front of you that the direction you're supposed to go needs to be blocked off to some degree. And then there was another one, test five, was it the A-only test, where they had that huge, hard left-hand turn? I mean, it was more than a 90 degree turn, right? But it's like, again, the way the trail was coming up and over, I mean, you could just launch it, and if you launched it, you landed in the ribbon, you know what I mean? And then you were already missing the turn, which was way down there. So there's a couple that were poor, I guess you could say, to say the least. But it sounds like they've really been working on it. They're taking the feedback and they're understanding it, and they really do want to put on a great event. So all we can do is say thanks. The race was awesome. There are things that you can work on, but hell, if we all look in the mirror, there's all kinds of things we can work on with ourselves too. So it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'd say like 95% of it was marked fine. It was just a few spots that weren't. And yeah, it's the way it goes, I guess.
Yep. Okay, test five, the A-only test. Holy shit.
Yeah, that one I screwed up. I think I got in not even a minute, and then like right where we crossed the creek, I got way turned around, and I took some hard enduro lines thinking I'd just, you know, tough it out, and then I was kind of lost for a minute. I seen you drive by, then I had to get back around. So yeah, that cost me easily a minute there.
Yeah, that one kind of sucked. I feel like that was a little bit, I was like, I get it that it's like we're the A onlys, but if you want to randomly cross a creek, I don't know, like I kind of am like, all right, let's put up arrows maybe on the edges, or like ribbon one part that you're like, this is kind of like, hey, just don't go over here. But in the long run, if you want to haul ass and jump this thing here or there or whatever, like, I felt it was a little haphazard, right? The way that they were trying to get us to understand that we were going to cross the creek. And I also understand that it was an A only part of that. But yeah, it seemed like you were having some trouble getting your bike started once it died. You were trying to get looped back to the trail and stuff. So I just shimmied on. But I think the most fun of that test for me was after we were back on the side where we were going to check out, right? We started on one side of the road. We rode the section, crossed the road, and then took the left and rode back to where we checked out. It was the most technical. Like, it was the hardest part for me, but it was the most fun. And I think it's because it was so technical and so challenging. It just like quickly continued to undulate, right, in the elevation. The rocks were slicker than shit. You were taking hard lefts, hard rights. Like, again, that's one of those sections where I'm like, if this is supposed to be easier when it's wet, I don't know what I'm doing wrong in life, because I would be scared shitless if it was raining and I had to go into that A only test knowing that that last like 3/4 of a mile or mile was ahead of me.
Yeah.
All right. So the A only, we regrouped. That was the disco test, right? I think where they checked us in for test 6 was the disco group set up there.
Oh yeah.
That was the one where they almost didn't have enough time. I think you had like 2 or 3 minutes, right, when you rode up.
Yeah, because that's, like I said, I got hung up in that test 5 for, I don't know, maybe a minute. And then by the time I got done, I didn't know it was so much of a time crunch. Luckily, as soon as I got done with the test, I just went all the way and transferred. And I was transferring pretty good pace. So by the time I got there, I seen like, you know, I was 1/4 mile behind, and then I seen 50 riders. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. And then I go up to them. They're like, hey, forward. And I looked at their number, and they're like row 60 because they're all the B guys. So yeah. I passed 40 more people, and they're like, no, keep going, keep going. So yeah, it was like 200-300 yards of people just to get to the front. And then I think I had 90 seconds before we started or something.
Yeah, that's why when you came up, I was like up high. Cause I got tired of doing that. Everybody, like, I was doing the same thing when I was looking at numbers. I was like, holy shit. And then I had to like, hey, lean over. And no one would move. I was like, God, F this. So I just took a hard right into the woods and just like up onto the thing. And that's why I was just sitting right by the thing. I was like, I'm not waiting for anybody else. Like, they're in my way and I got to go. So, but that was another one of those where it was like a super fun test. I felt like this was a longer version of test 4. And unfortunately, I believe this is the one where I got hung up on a log. Like, this is the one where I think you had the dude, there was a dude stuck on a log. You crossed to the left of him over the log and it looked fine, but I went to go do that. So I was like, okay, cool. That's a good line. I'm gonna do that same line. And I don't know what happened, but as I like was gonna blip, I was like, I'm in the wrong gear. So, but right when I went to go shift, I was like, oh shit, there's something on the other side. And so it kind of took my focus. And so I didn't get that downshift. And so when I tried to blip, there was just like, I screwed myself because I let what I saw on the other side kind of get in the way of the way that I was able to approach the log. And I just feel like those are little mistakes that I'm still kind of making as I'm trying to get back into racing because of the fact that I'm carrying a pace, again, that I'm not used to carrying so much because it's been so long that I've tried to like ride this fast, this hard, this long. And so like little mistakes like that are still kind of happening. And I think that's just it kind of comes with time. But in the long run, I thought that was a super cool test.
Yeah, that was a fun one too. That was probably, test 6 and 7 were my favorite of the day. It just felt like it kept getting better.
Yeah. What was fun about that though, even though I screwed up, is I was like, okay, that's my go catch Dylan. Do you know what I mean? Like, you then became the carrot on the stick for me. Cause I was like, I was keeping your pace. And in the long run, I was like, I thought about it a couple times. I was like, could I go faster? But there's always that, you know what I mean? Like, I know that you're pulling me to some degree, right? And if I passed you, there might be a couple chances where I'd do the same, but it's like, I didn't want to then hold you up either. You know what I mean? But so when that happened, I was like, all right, catch his ass. If nothing else, catch him. I was like, okay. So I got you. And then of course, Dale and Brandon come by. So as I'm now kind of like a little bit further back getting dropped by you, they come by and I'm just like, F this. And I'm trying to hang on to Dale. I catch a vine and it just like totally rips me off the bike and I just yard sail it into the woods. And I was like, this is what I get. This is what I get for trying to push it. This is what I get. But it's just learning and having fun with it. So it was a good time.
Was that Vine on one of those uphills where that guy was stuck and we had to go around him?
There's a good chance. At this point,
okay,
we're in the backwoods of Arkansas, right?
Yeah. Because I caught a similar Vine. I had to go around the guy, like way around him, because he was stuck and he'd tip over or whatever. So yeah, I went around and I had a big Vine wrap around my bike and it was like slowing me down. I had to yank it all off the bars. Those vines are tough.
Dude, they did not give. This one this one grabbed the bike, whoop, like pulled it around because it just grabbed the handlebar and I kept going and I felt it start to give and I was like, all right, it's going to give. And then it was like, shink. That's like, it did not give. I was just like, wee. I'm pretty sure it would have been one of those awesome like superhero flips where like I just like all of a sudden I'm like flying like, you know, feet out through the air. Like, I mean, that's what it felt like. It probably like, I probably just like fell over.
We'll just say that it's fun.
Yeah, we say that it's fun. So then we go to test 7. So we went back to test 6. We ended right there at the bridge, which I think is cool. That bridge, being able to use that in the race is really neat. Everybody's like, yeah, good job.
Yeah.
And then they're like, ABA buys, go back out for more. I was like, okay, we will. So we gassed up and we went back out and they rode us down the road a little bit, which I'm okay with. I know that some people might complain about the transfers, but in the long run, with such fun tests, such challenging test, I'm totally fine with it. And it would be dangerous AF to race us down some of those roads, especially since they're public roads. So we got to test 7, which was the longest one of the day. I think before this, we were at 6.5 miles and now we're at 7 miles. Again, I was happy with the way that I rode in this test. I think I made a couple dumb mistakes. And unfortunately I had one right in front of you, right as we get to the grass track of finishing it up. But again, I feel like that was just like kind of shitty arrowing, because when I looked, the arrow is on the inside, you know what I mean? It's on the inside of the turn, and you could see where you went was the line that everybody was taking. So like everybody blew the ribbon and the turn and was just swinging wide, which is the direction you went, because you were lucky enough to watch me go down.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna hit you. I was kind of scared there for a second. I was right behind you. I darted at the last minute and took down the ribbon.
It was because of the fact that like where I passed you, I think you made a mistake or something like that, and I passed you, and it was still kind of like technical, you know what I mean? So it like made sense for me to kind of like stay there. But I think with the 450 and us getting onto some of those grass tracks and stuff like that and some of those more open sections, that's where in the long run it's probably for the better that you got in front of me. It does suck that I lost, you know, 10-15 seconds pulling myself off the ground, but again, just take it on the chin and learn from it and keep having fun. So,
yeah, in that test, I feel like there was a lot of back and forth because I think I messed up and you got around me. Then you messed up. I got around you. And then I think Brandon passed me. Then he messed up. I went around him. I messed up. He passed me. You passed me. Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth in that test. It was fun.
Yeah, we were all getting tired. That's what it was. We were all just like pushing it to get done, but also kind of making mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, and we did 69 miles. And that's the part where I'm like, I like, you know, keep endurance in enduros. And that's why I don't have a problem with transitions or transfer sections, because of the fact that attrition is kind of part of the sport. Right. The longer that we're out there putting miles on the bike, putting miles on ourselves, like we have to pay attention to the way that we fuel the bike, the way that we're taking care of the bike, the way that we fuel the body, and the way that we take care of the body. And so though I understand the reasons and the like of what sprint enduros have become, I just feel like it does kind of take away, kind of from the essence of an enduro. And I know people are going to say timekeepers and this, that, the other. I do feel that there's a slight difference, even though there is a chess match that can be played when it comes to timekeepers, that I do think elevates the idea of an enduro to a different degree. But I just like the fact that it's like at a sprint enduro, you just go do a lap and go back to your truck and sit on your trail bed, you know, until you're ready to go again. And I'm like, that part of it, I'm kind of like, What do you prefer? You do RMECs, so I mean, you're out and about.
I like them all. I like sprint enduros just because you can, you know, hang it out for 5-10 minutes and then you get a break if you want. So that's, I don't know. Sprint enduro is obviously about sprint speed, full speed everywhere, because I mean, I can't run that pace during a, you know, 40-minute test. I gotta, you know, pace myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I like a mix of everything. Timekeeper, I've done one when I lived out in Pennsylvania area, and yeah, I wasn't too big a fan of that. I wasn't fast enough to blow the checks, but I don't like worrying about time when I'm riding. I like to focus on the trail.
Yeah, and I'll say, I think it was, 2007 when the NEPG kind of took over and got rid of timekeepers and went to the restart format. It might have been, it was somewhere around there. But that was the first time, 07 was the first time Dad and I did one, when it was actually here in Gilmer, Texas. That's when I was like, this is awesome. And the way, you know, it still felt then to me, even though I was just a B-rider, then it felt like it had all the things that I loved about enduros, but it took away that kind of that mental piece. And I know some people are going to say, but that mental piece, I get it. I understand it. And that's the same reason why people would say sprint enduros over reliability enduro or the restart format. You know, it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, and I know that timekeepers still happen in some places around this country. And I think y'all are crazy. Like, somebody just asked me to, like, my buddy Monty was like, you got to come to our timekeeper in the Pacific Northwest. I was like, I want to ride in the Pacific Northwest. I don't want to do a timekeeper enduro. I mean, I don't have the money technically to go do it either, but I also don't want to do
it. Yeah, it's a lot of thinking.
So what's next then? Yeah, it is. And that's okay. We'll get there when there's time. Are you going to be at Hardwood Hills, or is that one of the ones that you're going to miss?
Oh, yeah, I'll be at Hardwood.
Cool. Well, they haven't done registration yet, so you're going to try for 28 again? I'll go for 28 again. We can play in the rocks together.
Yeah, probably. I like that row. I could have swore he said that sign-up would have been last Thursday, but maybe it was this
Nothing yet. I know. Yeah, I've been checking it, too. Yep. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything because I was like, But, yeah, I've heard – it's funny because some other people were kind of like, you know, if you're going to miss one, that's probably one of the ones you want to miss. And I was like, you know what? When I started this year, I said, I'm going to go to all the blackjacks that I can go to. And I put that one on the schedule. I'm not hurt. The bike is working. And there's still some funds left in the bank. So you know what? We're going to go to this race. And we're going to see what it's all about. I have no idea. It's apparently rocky.
Well, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah,
it looks a little
okay,
drier. Okay. It looks a little drier in the YouTube videos, but that was from a few years ago. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk through our adventure, because I mean, we were literally there together, bike lengths apart at times in the woods of Arkansas for the White Rock Enduro. Like, overall, am I too much to handle? Like, when you're on a row with me, I've heard negative things before.
No, not too much to handle. Almost.
Perfect. Not quite. Almost. It's like pushing the edge.
Yeah.
Pushing the edge. I like it. No worries. Well, thank you very much. Obviously, I will let you know when the video is out. I'm going to use this for a lot of the voiceover so we can jump back and forth between talking about some of the footage that you were kindly enough to let me share. And I think it's going to be a great time, dude. I look forward then to seeing you at Hardwood Hills. Enjoy getting sea time, and I sure appreciate your time.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, yeah, thanks for putting all this together. We'll see you at Hardwood.
I stand by what I said in the video. The White Rock Enduro is an event that you should put on your calendar. It's extremely challenging, very technical, and you can tell that everybody's excited to work on some of the mistakes that happen. But it's life. Mistakes happen. With feedback is how we get better. It's the only reason that I share some of the things that I shared in this video. Speaking of the video, what did you think? The GoPro crapped out. Dylan had a GoPro. I feel like the way that we collaborated was pretty awesome. So if you're watching this video, go listen to the podcast, because there's a ton more info. And if you've listened to the podcast, go watch the video, because again, there's a lot more content that I think you guys are going to enjoy in that. So thank you guys for watching this video. Of course, always want your feedback. There's going to be a lot more racing going on. I put up a Q1 report of everything that's happened so far on Instagram. So go check that out if you haven't. Remember, you can support Sea Time with the new Keep Endurance in Enduro shirt. If you want to get yourself a utility can caddy, please do so at shop.seatime.co. The Sherco is ready for the Cajun Classic. We're getting ready to go race and enjoy getting some seat time. If we don't get a chance to see you on the trail, at least we'll see you here on the internet. You enjoy getting seat time, and we'll see you for the next one. Peace.